Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our brother and sisters to lead us in praise tonight. We thank you for the testimony of these songs, and we wait on you, Lord. We present our various conditions to you tonight. We pray for those who joined us online tonight who can't be with us. We pray you'd bless them in their various circumstances and conditions. And Lord, we ask that you'd be with the numbers of our people who are sick and unable to be here, and pray that you'd raise them up. We pray for those who are in a bad condition in their spiritual life and not where they ought to be with God. We pray for others who have come to know you and are excited about their walk with you. Help us to be the people of God and the church here that you want us to be and accomplish your purposes. And we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to, again, every day, present ourselves to you as a living and holy sacrifice, and you can use us for your purposes. And may we tonight have an opportunity to think about our role in the church and how you've gifted us to minister to one another, to minister to the world. And so we pray for all that's going on this campus tonight and all of our various classes, Bibles being taught, and our teachers and all of our children. Bless them all and their leaders and our students. Of course, our choir people and all the rest. We're a blessed people, and we thank you for it. So we ask, Lord, that tonight you would give us just a few minutes of focus in the midst of a world of distraction and hurry. May we, as the song said, our soul will wait on you. We'll be still and know that you are God. What a privilege it is for us to be born again, to know you, and to have the Holy Spirit of God to dwell within us. What a privilege it is for us to have the opportunity to serve one another and for us to have these days of life to be together as a church. And we thank you for them and for what happens as a result of what we do here for eternity in the lives of so many. And we're grateful. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, if you have your Bibles, good to see all of you. Good evening. Make sure you pick up your outline if you didn't there at the doors and the various places. And there are three different pieces of material. There's one that says the church on the front, and there's the regular outline that we use. And then there's also our hymn that we look at each evening. And those of you online, as I mentioned to you before, if you're able, you can go to your website, and the outline is also there for you so you can watch us. I call your attention to Romans chapter 12 tonight. Romans 12, if you haven't been with us, we're talking about being gifted to minister. So on my left and your right here we have this, and I want to encourage you, we're calling our entire church membership to go out online, or we have booklets available. If you need one, you can ask Lori. I don't know if we have any in here. Are there a few in here? If they're not, you can ask Lori. But anyway, we're trying to get all of our church members to take this spiritual gifts inventory. Please be cooperative. It's important for you to know what your spiritual gifts are so that you know how to serve in the church. And so that's what we've been talking about for a long time, and I can't repeat all of the information, but here it is, and we're focusing on these ministry gifts in the life of our church. On this side, we're now moving into talking about what it means for us to use our spiritual gifts and what does fellowship really mean in the church. What is fellowship? We have a fellowship hall. We have a lot of activities we do, but what is fellowship? We started talking about that last week. But tonight we start with this on the inside column up here, the top one. We're going to talk about membership. We're going to talk about church membership. And what does that really mean? So we go to Romans chapter 12, one of our chapters that has to do with some of these spiritual gifts. We know these words very well. Paul mentions to us in Romans chapter 12, the first two verses, that we have a responsibility every day to present our bodies. I'm reading now Romans 12, 1. What does a Christian do every day? Well, we present our bodies to God, a living and holy sacrifice. We get up in the morning, as we come to pray, as we come to prepare our day, whatever else we've got to do, we pause, hopefully for more than a second. We pause and we spend time with God in prayer in a quiet place, and we present ourselves to God, confessing our sin, so that we can be a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God. That's our spiritual service of worship, and that's an everyday thing. We talked about this in detail when we were talking about the habits of Jesus, that every day we practice the habits of Jesus. Verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We do that every day using Scripture and prayer and all of our spiritual disciplines. We renew our minds so that we can prove what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Then he changes gears in verse 3. And this is to all of us as Christians. For through the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, now I say this to our church and to every one of us, that we not think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think, but that we think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, here's the picture, the church. We have many members in one body, and all the members, the body, do not have the same function. Verse 5, so we, who are many, all of us believers, are one body in Christ. The many are the one. And then this verse, verse 5, and individually members one of another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, this is not this isn't the full list. Paul's giving examples. If service, in his serving. If he teaches, in his teaching. In exhortation, in his exhortation. If he gives with liberality, and he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So I take you back now and remind us, so how do we come to be good church members? That's the way I'll talk about it. How do we come to be effective church members? Well, we're reminded here of our personal responsibilities in verses 1 and 2 to present our bodies to the Lord for service, to renew our minds. That means you've got to get rid of the old things that drag you down. You can't live in your past. You have to live now for the Lord Jesus. You got to put an end to the past. It's over. Can't change it. Renew your minds and you prove what the will of God is. Then he talks about the way we think about ourselves. If I'm going to be a good church member, Pastor Mike, I must, as Paul says here, I must not think more highly of myself than I ought to think. And what does God's Word help us to do? The Word of God helps us to think about ourselves properly. Sometimes people want something from us and they'll tell us things to inflate our minds and our thoughts so that we're flattered and it goes to our head. We have to think. See, this is the first thing about a Christian. So, you know, Paul says it in another place. Think soberly. That doesn't mean think just because you're not drunk. It means to be serious about how you evaluate yourself. I'm not here responsible for you in the sense of how you behave. That's up to you. I'm responsible for me. So I have to think about myself every day in a proper way. And he says in verse 3, to think with sound judgment. And he says, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. Why do we take this inventory? Because as I've repeatedly said, This is an evidence of how God has blessed you. This is your allotment from the Holy Spirit of giftedness. He's giving this to you, everyone, every believer. And so as we're allotted these things, see, I then look at my life in the right way and I say, well, this is the way God has gifted me, and this is the way I'm to live in humility as a Christian and think properly with my life in a humble way, not in a proud way. And as a result of that, then I consider myself, first I've got to deal with myself, and then I fit better in the body. What causes trouble in the body is when someone thinks more of themselves than they should. And because of pride and because of those things, it causes all kinds of damage inside the church. So we see here in verse number, I'm getting to it, just stay with me. So we're getting to it now in verse 5. This is such an interesting verse. So we who are many are one body in Christ. And then this phrase, and individually members one of another. I'm going to read it from, my primary translation is always the New American Standard, but the New Living Translation is a wonderful paraphrase, very, very good to use as a comparison Bible sometimes to a translation. But the New Living Bible translates Romans 12:5 in this way. We are many parts of one body. But this is the phrase I want you to catch tonight. And we all belong to each other. Amen. What is the church? We are many, but we all belong to each other. I'm fighting down a challenge in our culture. Pride leads to individualism. Individualism leads to a lack of need for anybody else. And that's rampant in our culture. It's rampant here in Dixon. It's rampant everywhere, especially in the American church. We can be a Christian. We don't need anybody else. We'll worship on the lake. We'll do what we do for God on our own. We don't really need the impediments of the church. We find that that's quite bad thinking, and it's not biblical, and it causes all kinds of great problems. I testified to you that I'm the son of a set of parents who decided not to go to church when I was a teenager. It was interesting. It was quite an awkward thing. I went. They didn't go. And they had their reasons because someone hurt their feelings. I'm not the only one who's ever been raised like that or reared like that. So on your sheet there with the church, my point is this, that this idea of my own rights, my own ways are more important than the church's, and if I don't like it, I'll just go somewhere else, is the cause of great harm to the church and to an individual Christian. Lots of people go to different churches for a lot of different reasons. That's not what I'm here to talk about. I could give you a whole lot of stories about it. I've witnessed it now for almost 50 years. And not just in Dixon. All over the country where I've been. In churches of all sizes. Our confession as Baptists, and we went through this when we were looking together as we spent all of our time going through what we believe. Way back, I want you to look at that confession for a moment. A New Testament church of the Lord Jesus Christ is an autonomous local congregation of baptized believers. That's what we are. The church is, we're not controlled by anybody else. We are under the leadership of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are an independent, autonomous local church, First Baptist Church. Associated, but this is the phrase I want you to see, associated by covenant in the faith and fellowship of the gospel, observing two ordinances of Christ and governed by His laws, notice, exercising the gifts, these spiritual gifts, our rights and privileges invested in us by the Word, and seeking to extend the gospel. And then if you read on, in such a congregation, each member is responsible and accountable to Christ as Lord. We're accountable to Christ as Lord. And in the church, we have two offices. Depending on various Baptist churches, sometimes my role is called pastor or elder or overseer. Those are all words to describe the role of a pastor. They're not different offices. So you have pastors and you have deacons. Those are the two offices. To serve the church, not boss the church, to serve the church, to lead the church. Now here's what I want you to go back and see. Stay with me. So we read that we are individually members of one another, or as the NLT says, we belong to each other. I love this in our confession because this is what I'm talking about tonight about church membership. Church membership is a covenant commitment we make to other people who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ together in a local place. Now, we do have in our confession the statement that we do all belong to the body of Christ, which is the redeemed of all ages, believers from every tribe, tongue, people, nation. Yes, we're part of the global spiritual body of Christ, praise God. But Paul's attention focused on local churches. He wrote to the church at Rome. He wrote to the church at Corinth. He wrote to the church at Ephesus. He wrote to the Galatian set of churches. He wrote to the church at Philippi. And he wrote to the church at Thessalonica. He wrote to these churches. These are individual churches with their own unique set of circumstances. And he was describing to them how it is to live and to function as believers. The closest, now we're going to talk here on your outline about some word pictures and we'll get there, but let me just finish this. Because this is one of the best ways to illustrate our relationship in covenant together. And Paul uses it in another place, but I'm not going to use to talk about it in detail tonight, and that is the church is also known as the bride of Christ. But marriage is the closest example to what I'm trying to describe in what it means to be a church member. You have a husband and you have a wife, and a marriage is only as good as the word of the two people who stand there and make their promise. Amen. It's a covenant. It's an agreement. Wife says, I'll agree to this. Husband says, I'll agree to this. When one or the other doesn't, marriage is over. Marriage is over. So we in our tradition here, unapologetically, we offer a public invitation. We invite people to come, step forward, and say to the church, and we're blessed to see many do that, and I'm so grateful for it. You may not always be in the service when it happens, but it happens a lot. We don't all meet together at the same time. We had a dear lady join last Wednesday at noon. We have about 70 others that you don't see that have been here already today. She joined last Wednesday at noon. My point is, we ask people to, when they come to know Jesus Christ, the next thing we say to them is, now that you've believed in the Lord Jesus, you must be baptized as a believer, committing that you are a follower of Jesus, you're going to follow Jesus, and committing to be a disciple of the Lord and join or unite, we say, with this church. It's a covenant agreement. I've listened to every excuse all of my ministry about why people don't join the church. But tonight it's not about that. Marriage is a covenant relationship. Our relationship with each other in this church is a covenant relationship. We have to all agree that we're going to be one of those who knows our spiritual giftedness, no matter what your age is. I know what my giftedness is, and I practice treating the others in a loving, Christ-like way. We're members of one another. We have membership. The Lord Jesus, when you were saved, you were born again, and you were put into the body of Christ, the glorious spiritual body of Christ. But we, as Baptists, say to people, you need to tangibly join and unite yourself with a group of people so that you have a family of believers that you're a part of. It's like marriage. Now, if you'll go in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, I want to talk for a moment about these word pictures of the church. Let me expand on this a little bit and talk about membership. By the way, the wonderful phrase, one another, I've mentioned this to you before. This is one another is two English words for one Greek word. Allelos is the word. Allelos is translated one another. Allelos. Lots we could do with that, but we're not in Greek class tonight. The point is one another. One another. And then here's the another, and then there's a one, and then there's another, and then there's a one, and there's another, and another, and another, and another, and another. One another. One and many. Many and one. This is God's design for the church, for believers. We're united together. And our uniting together begins at the beginning of our Christian life. I'm grateful as a 9-year-old boy when I came to know the Lord, our church took it very seriously when children, just like we do here, Pastor Ken. We do it without apology. Sometimes parents get mad at us. Well, my boy wants to be baptized. Okay, well, that's good, but that's not the most important question. The most important question is, has your child believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and is your child saved? So when I came to know Christ as a 9-year-old boy in the little church I was in, pastor took it very seriously and they worked me through what we call it steps to Christ here. And Ken wants to talk with children as the pastor of our children's work to make sure that they're ready to be baptized as a believer. Well, I'm grateful to have had that same chance. The point I'm making is that as we ask people to unite themselves to the church, we want to make sure that they know that they're a believer because the church is made up of baptized believers. And then we put ourselves together in a local place in order to do the work of God. So Paul starts talking about the church and he describes it in some very unique ways. Chapter 3, 1 Corinthians. He says, now they had the same problem in the early church we've got in the church today. Everybody's got their favorite preacher. And generally that preacher, you know, may or may not be their own local preacher. I mean, you know, once you hear him every day, and some of you have been listening to me for well on 15 years, God bless you. Just think about how long Pat's been listening to me, and that'll give you some appreciation for her. Thank you, Brother Terry. I appreciate that affirmation. But they had their favorite preachers, even at Corinth. Look here, For since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly and are you not walking like mere men? That happens in church. For one says, well, I'm of Paul. Paul's my preacher. Nobody going to do what Paul did. Paul's the man. He's the planter. He planted this church. Blah, blah, here they go. Or I'm of Apollos. No, man, Apollos can preach. Paul just, he couldn't even talk. No, I'm for Apollos. Man, he can preach. He preaches down the glory. What then is Apollos and what then is Paul? The point is, what's the point of who your favorite preacher is? They're servants through whom you believed. Whoever your favorite preacher was, they're servants who help you come to know Christ, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one. Then Paul describes what preachers do, pastors do. I planted, that is, planted the Word of God, threw the seeds of the Word of God, taught the Word of God, came back and taught it. I planted, Apollos watered, but God causes the growth in the church. So it's neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God causes the growth. So he goes down and says, now he who plants and he who waters are one, but each one receives his own reward according to his labor. God will deal with me appropriately in my time when I'm finished, as I give account for my ministry life all my years of being called to ministry since I was 14 years old. So I have a lot to answer for. Verse 9, for we are God's fellow workers, that is the preachers, pastors. You, notice the church, you are two things here in these metaphors. God's field, God's building. Now we can't understand it as clearly in our English language, but the word for field in verse 6 is actually a word in the Greek language for a cultivated land. Land that's, the ground's broken up. The ground is prepared to receive seed. The ground is cultivated and is growing. It can be being seeded. It can be watered. It can be being prepared for harvest. It can be in some point of growth. That's the point, is to say, what is the church like when it's like a field? Well, we're a place where we grow spiritually. This is the place we gather together to learn how to grow spiritually. But we're also God's building. Notice it's, you are God's building. And then pastors are, by the grace of God, to be master builders and lay a foundation and build upon the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, of course, we read in 1 Corinthians 12 that we are a body. You have it there on your sheet. For even as the body is one and yet has many members, all the members are of the body. They are many, are one body, so in Christ. For the body is not one member, but many. But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as He desired. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacks, so that there may be no divisions in the body, but that members may have the same care for one another. There's one another. And then you have it in 1 Corinthians 12, 27. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And remember, we belong to each other. So as pastors, you've got to know a little bit about farming to do it, your work. As a pastor, you've got to know a little bit about building. As a pastor, you've got to know a little bit about the body, like a doctor. These are the responsibilities of leaders as we think about the church. As I think about our church, as I think about our local church, which spans six generations. We are an intergenerational church. Some churches start and they start around a focus with young adults. That's good. This church starts that way. But then those people start having children and all of a sudden generations come. I'm grateful for the six generations of First Baptist Church Dixon, and we do our ministry that way unapologetically. As I've said, let the kids come in there. Who cares if they're running all over the place? What's new about that? They run all over the place anyway. I'm just waiting for my grandson to run up there 1 week out of his nursery, out of his room back there in preschool, and come up on the pulpit platform. If he does, we'll just deal with it. I don't know what we'll do. We'll just keep going. Maybe I should put one of his toys in the back of the pulpit so I can say, okay, just sit down right there while we finish. My point is, that's the richness of who we are. We belong to one another. Our youngest ones to our oldest ones. So what I want to go now to, in light of that, is to think about church membership with these five principles that I've given you here about our relationship to one another. So let me elaborate a little bit more in some detail. Number one, in Romans chapter 12, verse 4, notice again, we're back to it. For just as we have many members, I'm working on this a long time because I'm trying to push against the idea that everybody has that I don't really need the church, I just need Jesus. Yes, you just need Jesus, but you need the church. You are a part of the church. When you were born again, you were made to be a part of the church. So every member, my friends, this is why this is important. Pat and I were talking about her spiritual gifts today. They haven't really changed much from when we've done this for many years together as husband and wife, but it was good to hear her talk about them again and for her again to talk about, well, now that's, I need to make sure at First Baptist I'm serving, I'm helping in the church by using my spiritual gifts in the right way. That's the point. For you to find your sweet spot. Your sweet spot is found in your spiritual gifts. So here's what's happening all the time at church. This is all going on. I'm sorry to turn my back to you. This over here, the spiritual gifts are all in play in the church among the people here. All these gifts are taking place, First Baptist Church, and all of these things are happening also at the same time. We're members of one another, so we're devoted to one another. We honor one another. By the way, I'm going to go through each of these in the next weeks. What does it mean to be devoted to one another? Well, we'll talk about that in detail. We greet one another. We serve one another. Greeting is more than just shaking everybody's hand at the door. Serve one another. We carry one another's burdens. We bear with one another. We submit to one another. Oh boy, that'll be a good week. Don't miss that one. We encourage one another. We admonish one another. We accept one another. We be of the same mind. The point is, this is all happening in the fellowship of the church. We didn't get together and have potato salad. We're having fellowship. We hear of each other's needs. We're walking together. We belong to each other. Here's the point. I belong to you, so every day I have to say to myself, I belong to my brothers and sisters as much as I belong to the Lord, so I need to watch what I say. Amen. I need to watch what I do. Amen. I need to watch the associations I have. My point is this, because the way I live affects you. Amen. The way you live affects the church. This is so critically important. So all of this is happening at the same time. And it's hard to describe this, but this is Paul's point about individually members of one another. And it's also his description of having these various gifts. Now, every believer is connected to every other believer. This is, again, I want to come back to it. I can't... And number three, let me just put them both together. We're interdependent on every other believer. So I said this before, so I've broadened this statement out. You cannot be your own church. That's impossible. You're a believer in Jesus Christ, but you're not a church. Hence the person who says, I'm just going to pray at home and I'll listen to whoever my favorite preacher is. They're better than the ones up there at the church anyway. And so I'm just going to listen to them. And, you know, I'm going to have house church. I mean, I don't have to change my clothes. I don't have to get cleaned up. No, nothing's expected of me. I'm just have my own church. I get on my boat. I'll go drive around my car. I'll ride my motorcycle. I mean, whatever. I'll take my family. We'll go have a picnic. This idea of independence versus interdependence, you cannot be your own church. Number two, you can't be your own pastor. Amen. Now, I'm Pastor Mike, and I can't be my own pastor. So not long ago, Pat couldn't go with me, and I'm in this season of time, I guess in old age, where I have to go to the doctor. I hate going to the doctor, by the way. I just got to tell you. It's annoying. It's aggravating. They're always telling me something that I don't want to know. Amen. And getting in my business. So anyway, Jeff Heflin drew the short straw. I said, well, somebody has to go with me on this one. So poor old Jeff, he got in the car with old Grandpa, Brother Mike. Here we go. He had to listen to, you know, me going on and on, whatever, for a long time. You need to pray for Jeff. It was a long day. But what was great was we got there. And the nurse, she looked to be like 16 years old. I know she wasn't 16 years old, but I mean, she was really young. So we go in the room and the lady says, no, he can come back there with you. So we sit down back there waiting and the young lady comes in to do her stuff. And she says, oh, did you bring your son with you today? Man, was I aggravated about that. I said, no. I said, I'd love if he was my son. He's just a little bit older than my son. But he's my pastor. He was. He is. He's my pastor. Ken's my pastor. Todd's my pastor. I can't pastor myself. And you can't pastor yourself.
Amen.
Some of the most hard-headed people that I've talked to who don't need the church, they're going to be their own pastor. You cannot be that. I'll go on. You cannot be your own deacon. Well, I'll just deacon to myself. That's impossible. You cannot deacon yourself. We do this with others. That's why God gave to the church apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service. And oh, by the way, you can't be your own teacher. And this has caused great harm in the church. When people say, I'm not going to listen to anything that the leadership pastors and those who have their training have to say about God's Word or these things. I'm going to train myself. I'm just going to go on the internet. Hey, here's a good comparison. So the guy comes in and I'm going to be the doctor. And I'm going to have a surgery. We got to do something about his leg. And so he says to me, well, where'd you go to medical school? Don't worry about it. I got on the internet and I learned how to cut your leg off. Don't worry. I got on the internet and I learned some Bible words and some theological words and I know what it's all about. There's a lot more to this than we sometimes think. In learning the Word of God, teaching the Word of God, helping our people to know the Word of God. So you cannot be your own teacher to yourself. The point is, you're a part of many, and as a part of the many, you're still one. I have personal accountability and responsibilities to Jesus Christ as a part of the body of Christ, and I have a responsibility to you, and I better get busy using my gifts in the name of Jesus in love towards you. And you must do the same for all of our people, or we're not where we ought to be. All believers must recognize their dependence on others. I am completely dependent upon you. Be completely humble, gentle, be patient, bearing with one another, Paul said. Ephesians 4:2. Every believer must contribute to the unity of the body of Christ. Now, there's an old saying. I've decided, you know, I come on these old sayings once in a while. I'm going to try, in my old age, if I can remember, I'm going to throw them onto the paper once in a while. Here's a great old saying. I have no idea where it came from. But here's the point about being in church. Going to church, not just being a Christian. So if you go to church, here's the saying. Wherever you are, be all there. You didn't hear it, did you? Wherever you are, be all there. Don't just be sitting there like you're a robot. Be all there. Emotions, desire, will, passion, excitement. Be all there. Be all there. Wherever you are, when you're in church, be all there. Be all there doing these things that God has called you to do. Serving, leading, administrating, doing mercy. And while you're doing it, devoted to others, honoring them. Paying attention. Somebody said, well, I've got enough to do to just take care of my family. But you're a believer in Jesus Christ. Your family is not just your own individual family. It's the family of God associated with that local church. And that's everybody's business. I don't have these on your paper, but I want to finish with these. Church membership is a visible, physical commitment to Christ and His people. If we didn't learn anything else, I'm repeating myself, from COVID, church is physical relationship with each other in a place. You can't, and I know some of our people cannot be here, and I'm glad that Brother Ricky Chapel and others make this possible for us to have you listening tonight, and I'm not criticizing you, but they're the very ones who text me and say, I wish I could be there with the people. We sing together. We pray together. We weep with one another. We rejoice with one another. We walk with each other through all of the various trials of our life. We send out prayer needs. We go out and help those who have other kinds of physical and emotional needs. That's what we do. That's our task. Church membership is visible, physical. It's a physical sport. You rub shoulders with each other. You're in the room with each other. That's why we always get sick around here. We're breathing in each other's face all the time. It's physical. Who cares? It's physical.
Amen.
Take some medicine, go home, we'll come back. Church membership is a commitment to unite together with believers in a culture of individualism. I don't have this on your paper, but I know I'm preaching hard to you on this, but this is a hard one. The culture is all about I do whatever I want to do and I don't need anybody else. But you cannot be a Christian and say that.
Amen.
You're connected to everybody else.
Yes.
Church membership provides accountability to pastors and other church leaders, guiding your growth as a follower of Jesus. And I have 1 minute, but let me just say, nothing that's going on here tonight. I've been doing this here for a lot of years. When I meet with the pastors, there are plans for this church. There are specific teaching and lessons and things we want our people to go through. A lot of people don't want to do that. But that doesn't mean that these things aren't done. And so there is a real reality to a person's spiritual condition based on their attitude toward their pastors. You know, being teachable is something we all must be. All of us must be teachable. To be unteachable shows that we're not thinking rightly about ourselves. And so when we plan here, we plan discipleship materials for our adults at all ages, all of our classes teach. There's a lot of moving parts. This all is put together in such a way. Ken has a plan for the children that connects. If those children come with us and they start younger and they connect and go to Tim into the student area, there's a connection and a linkage to what they do. It's not just random that these guys show up here and say, well, you know, what do you think we ought to do today? Just go ask them what I put them through. We plan. We set plans in order because we have two jobs. The people we lead to Christ, we're to disciple. Now, sometimes our people are pretty ornery about letting us disciple them. And that's a sad thing to me. But membership is this. I pledge to submit myself to the direction and ministry of the church so that I might grow. Church membership is a pledge to attend and give and pray and serve. Look, there are three things you must remember that are true for every believer who's a non-church member. Here they are. I don't have them on your paper. Three things that are true for every believer who's not a church member. And by the way, those who are inactive church members. They are a toe without a body. That's what it is. They're a hand without a body. They're an eye without a body. You see, I can't do all what I got to do, as I said earlier, by myself. A church member who's not an active church member or a non-church member, believer, is a toe without a body. Secondly, a non-church member who's a believer is pray, P-R-E-Y, pray without protection. You see, the Lord Jesus is our shepherd, and the Word of God helps us and the Holy Spirit does, but that's also why we have pastors and shepherds who say to us sometimes, hey, is that really a good thing for you to do? I know sometimes people are offended when pastors talk to them and speak to them and say, is that really the best choice you can make? But that's why we do it.
Amen.
Pray without protection. Finally, the last one is probably the greatest and saddest. A church member who's a believer without a church, a non-church member, is a stranger without a family. I'm 2 minutes past and I know you got to go get your kids, and I do too. You know, just one point, and I've experienced this all my ministry life, and I'll keep doing it. I'm not complaining. I'm not criticizing. Probably the saddest funerals are when I get the call and they say, Pastor Mike, you know, Tommy or Span, call me and, hey, we got family here and they don't have a church. Will you do the service? It's really awkward. They have no family. Oh, now they may be related to people who go to church, but then we get there to the place, and so we spend our time talking about they have no one to call on them, they have no one to minister to them, they have no one to serve them, they have no one to look out for them. They're just on their own. Because at some point in their life they chose, look, I'm just going to follow Jesus, I'm going to do my own thing, I don't really need those people up there, I don't need all of that that goes on up there, and by the way, I'll probably just get my feelings hurt. And they're all, a bunch of them are hypocrites. Of course, when you look in the mirror, you are a hypocrite yourself. The fact is, they have no family. It's the saddest thing, I'm telling you. It's a sad thing to sit with people who don't have a church family.
Amen.
So that's why we come back to Paul's words. So we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. We all belong to one another, and we all serve God to the glory of God. And I thank you for listening to me, and I thank you for all that you do. I know many of you in this room very well. Thank you for what you do. We all fail. We all stumble. We all know people who've quit going to church. Well, I got tickled today. Marcus saw the Church Christ preacher. I know him. What did I tell you to do? Invite him to church. Amen. Heavenly Father, bless us as we go now. We thank you for your riches in grace through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.